there's a popular Jewish singer. Before there was Mordechai Shapiro, and before there was Shweki, so there was a man named Avram Fried. Have you heard of Avram Fried before? Yes? So Avram Fried has many, many beautiful songs, but he has a song that is particularly beautiful to me, and I'm not going to sing it for you, much to your chagrin. And you can certainly go and Google it afterwards, but he has a song based on a few psukim in this week's parsha. And you have the psukim in front of you here in Dvarim Perek Lamed in Pasuk Yud Aleph. Ki ha-mitzvah hazos. It says that this mitzvah, asher anochi mitzavcha hayom, that I, Hashem, are commanding you today, lo niflesi mimcha. The mitzvah that I'm talking about, now we don't know what it is yet, is not bewildering to you. It's not so far away. V'lo rechokihi. It's not a mitzvah that's so far that you can't reach it. Lo bashamayim hi. This mitzvah is not in the heavens. Has anybody heard the expression before? Lo bashamayim hi. That something is not in Shemayim, it's accessible to you. So, v'leimor, that a person would say, to Hashem, mi yala lanu Hashemayim v'yikachel lanu. Who's going to go up on a ladder all the way up to the heavens and bring back this mitzvah for me? V'yishmeinu osav v'nasena, who will teach it to us so we can do it. V'lo me'ivr l'yam, in this mitzvah, and again, the Torah doesn't tell us what it is, but this mitzvah is not on the other side of the ocean. Laymore, that a person should say, Mi Aver Lanu El Avrahayam, who is going to go on a boat and travel to the other side of the ocean, V'yikachel Lanu, and bring this mitzvah back for us. V'yishmenu Osa, and he'll teach it to us, V'nasena, so we can do this mitzvah. Ki Karov Eilecha Hadavar Meod. This part, maybe I'll hum from Avram Fried because it's so beautiful. Avram Fried then says, Ki karov eilecha hadavar meyod. And he says, because this thing is so close to you. Ma'od, very close. Beficha, it's in your mouth. Ubilvavcha, it's in your heart. La'asos, what to do. And this is this beautiful description the Torah gives us about this mitzvah that's accessible to everybody, no matter what track you're in, what class you're in, what school you're in, what situation in life, poor, wealthy, whatever the situation is, everybody is accessible to this mitzvah. But the problem is, what does the Torah not tell us? What does the Torah not tell us? What mitzvah? It just says ha-mitzvah hazos, but the Torah doesn't say what mitzvah. And this leads to a tremendous machlokus, a tremendous discussion amongst the commentaries. I'll give you the end of the discussion. Either it's talking about learning Torah, or it's talking about tshuva. Either Torah is accessible to everybody, or tshuva is accessible to everybody. Let's look here at a Gemara in Erevin. The Gemara in Erevin, which is the next source, and Daf Nun Heyam and Al, tells the following thing. Da'amar Avdimi Barchama Bardosa. This rabbi said, Ma'idichsev, what does it mean? Lo bashamayim hi, v'lo me'evr layam. It's not in the heavens, it's not on the other side of the water. Lo bashamayim hi, shim bashamayim hi, atat sarech la'lo sachareha. Says the Gemara, if tshuva, if Torah, was only accessible by getting in a rocket, literally, not as a figure of speech, literally getting in a rocket ship, and you had to travel up into the heavens to get that mitzvah, you would have to do it. You would have, just like you have to spend $200 in an esrog, if that's what it costs, or $20 in a box of matzah, if the mitzvah that we're talking about, the mitzvah Torah and tshuva, could only be learned by going to the moon and getting in a rocket ship, you would have to get in a rocket ship and fly to the moon. Crazy. That's how far we have to go for this mitzvah. V'me'evr layam hi, and if that mitzvah was on the other side of the ocean, you'd have to take a plane or a boat, so then, atat sarach labor achareha. That's how far you'd have to go. The mitzvah of Torah and Tshuva is so important that you would have to go and travel as far as you could. But what is Hashem telling us? What's the point here? What Hashem is doing us a favor. What's the
point? You don't have to.
You don't have to? Hashem is doing you a big favor. Really, you should have to go and spend money and effort and time to go do Tshuva and become a better person and learn Torah. That's really what you have to do. But Hashem says, I'm doing you a favor. And the favor is this remarkable mitzvah that you have to spend time and money for. I'm giving you to for free. It's right there. Now, I want to analyze the expression, me'evr layam. Again, what does Mevor Layav mean? You have to go where? Where? You have to go on the other side of the ocean. Tell me, if just from the sense of poetry and literature, if I told you that you have to go either up to the heavens, what would be the opposite of going up to the heavens?
Underground.
You'd have to go deep into the water, right underground. But the Torah does something funny here. The Torah is not being literally correct. It's not being poetically correct. The Torah is describing something that is not the opposite. Either you have to go up far away, or across an ocean is not the opposite way. I would have expected the Torah to say, Me'ever Layam, you have to go somewhere else. But across the sea is not the opposite of in the heavens. And in fact, if you look here, the Pasuk in Divrei Yam is describing a battle. And the battle is with Yehoshaphat, the king. They came and told Yehoshaphat, our enemies are coming, Me'ever Layam. What does that mean? They came with a submarine from out of the water? What does it mean? They came? I came across the ocean. From the place of Aram. Tamar, he ain't Gedi. Fine. But we see that Ever Layam means across the ocean. So what we want to understand is why, what does the Torah mean here, Me'ever Layam? And maybe we could read it differently. There was a rabbi who lived in the 1700s in North Africa, and then he came to Yerushalayim. His name was Rav Chaim ben Attar. And he wrote a commentary on the Chumash called the Or HaChaim. He's often referred to as the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, the Holy Or HaChaim. So the Or HaChaim asks our question. Listen to this. I'm not alone. I'm not crazy. The Or HaChaim asks our question. The Or HaChaim says, Od Amru V'lo Me'ever Layam. So he says, Bishlam Amru Lo B'Shemayim Hi Davar Nimna Me'asaga. He says, I understand you telling me that the Torah is in the heavens. In the days of the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, could they fly into the heavens? Do they have spaceships, rocket ships? Hello? No. So says the Or HaChaim, okay, that's really hard. That's really far away. But mi ala shemaim, who would go up to the heavens? Ava me'ever layam. He says, who cares? Halo anio si avru v'yikachua. Hagam shetia be'e hayam harachok ba'od. So the Or HaChaim paints our question differently. The Or HaChaim says, truth be told, I understand that Torah is really far away because of Shemayim. I don't have a rocket ship yet. Airplanes weren't invented. The Wright brothers are not for another 180 years. But it's on a boat. Can you get there if you wanted to? Could you travel on a boat if you wanted to? Yes. Is it annoying? 100%. Yeah, but you could get there. So the Or HaChaim is bothered differently. It's not so far away. Okay, so the Torah, mitzvah, self-improvement, being a better person, it's accessible, but it's not so far away. What I want to share with you now is a fascinating targum. There's different Aramaic translations of the Torah. One, we're familiar with who? Who's the most famous Aramaic translation?
Unkelus.
Excellent. Very good. Unkelus Hager, the famed convert, who has his commentary that he received from his Rebbeim. But there are other Aramaic translations. On the sheet in front of you, the right column is the Aramaic translation. And there's a rabbi who wrote a Hebrew translation of the Aramaic. So I'm going to do everybody a favor here. And we're going to read from the Hebrew translation so it makes sense. Let's see how the Targum Yerushalmi reads our psukim. On the left column, Lo bashamayim hi, the Torah is not in the heavens, lemor. Halavai, maybe mi hayalanu echad kamosha navi. Maybe you would have a Moshe Rabbeinu asher yalel shemaim to go up to the heavens. V'yevo osanu lanu v'yishmeas hamitzvos and tishirus hamitzvos v'naseh osanu. We can do it. That's one approach. We need a Moshe Rabbeinu. And then it says v'lom eivra layam hagadol, and it's not in the great sea. Hatorah laymor halavai. We wish we had hayalanu echad. Now look what the targum does. Ke, what's the next word? Like Yonah. Did Yonah go across the sea?
No.
Where did Yonah go?
In.
He went in the sea. Look what the Targum does. The Targum understands our psukim like our question. The Targum says, Me'ever Layam doesn't mean to go across the sea. Me'ever Layam means to go in the water like Yonah. And now, the poetic imagery of the Torah is perfect. look at this. Everything comes together. You don't have to go up like Moshe, and you don't have to go where? You don't have to go down like Yonah. We don't need a Yonah to go into the sea. Sheyered la'am kehayam hagadol, to go into the depths of the water. V'yavio salonu v'yishmeas ha-mitzvos, to teach us his mitzvos, v'na'aseh osan. And I think here, besides for explaining Pesukim, we have an incredibly powerful lesson for each and every person here, and also certainly as we approach the Yom Noraim. The nature of people is that we justify our shortcomings. We say, Hashem did not give me, you know, a good teacher this year. Hashem, it's the teacher's fault. If I would have had a different class around me, you know, things would have been better. If I would have had a different parents, maybe I could do what I want. If my financial situation was different, then I could do all these things. I could grow, I could accomplish. And we put our blame not on ourselves, but we put our blame on other people to help us there. So the Targum is telling us, Torah, Tshuva, Mitzvos, don't say, if I had a Rebbe who was like Moshe Rabbeinu, if I had a superstar teacher like Yonah HaNavi, then I'd be able to accomplish, then I'd be able to do. It's if I had a teacher to inspire me, if, you know, your favorite fill-in-the-blank speaker came every single day to teach me, then everything would be great. Says the Torah, it's not an excuse. Even if you didn't have a Moshe Rabbeinu or a Yonah, it's still, the Torah is accessible to you. You can learn, grow from the Torah, and you can still become a better person. And that's why it says, Beficha ubilvavcha. Your mouth, your heart. Is it somebody else's mouth?
No.
Is it somebody else's inspiring speech? No. The Torah is in you. It's nobody else's fault if you're not connecting to the Torah and you're not improving yourself. The responsibility lies beficha, in your mouth, your heart. If Hashem didn't want you to do it, he would not have given you the heart and the mouth to do it. It's right there in front of you. It's not dependent on anybody else at the end of the day. Inside of you. You don't need another person and no excuse to take care of it. This is, in fact, I think the pshat in the Sforno. We'll just look at the Sforno quickly, and then we'll tell a story. The Sforno says, Lo bashamayim hile mor, lo yikra lecha b'inyan ha-tshuva, shitzatzreich ba'la ha-gadas navi. You don't need a navi to do tshuva. V'lo me'ever la'yam hi, gam kein lo hititztareich ba'la chachmei hador. You don't need a big tamei chacham, a fantastic speaker. Fill in your most inspiring, you know, speaker. You don't need that person to become a better person. Whoever spoke to you in camp or spoke to you at an assembly, you don't need them to be better. It's just with you. So this leads me to perhaps one of my most favorite stories that is told. There was this story is recorded first in a book called Sipurei Chasidim, Chasidic Stories by Rav Shlomo Yosef Zevin. Rav Zevin was a fantastic Talmid Chacham, and besides writing books about Chidushei Torah, Parsha, things like that, he collected famous stories. So if you have in front of you, on the next page, on the opposite page, you have a picture of a shul. Has anybody ever seen that shul before? Anybody ever been there before? So let me give you the background to that shul and the story behind that shul. In the city of Krakow, in the 1700s, there was a poor Jew, and his name was Reb Isaac. And Reb Isaac had no money, he had no food to feed his family, he went from handout to handout, from coin to coin, to make sure he had enough to support his family, barely at the end of the day. And one night, he had a dream. And in his dream, a malach came to him and said, Reb Isaac, I'm letting you know that under the Charles Bridge in the city of Prague, there's a treasure that's waiting for you. And he woke up the next morning and he said, that is a very specific, very weird dream, but it's a dream and there's a lot of dumb things that happen in dreams. So he went to bed. The next night, after he woke up the next morning, guess what happened? He had a dream. And in the dream, a malach appeared to him and said, Reb Isaac, I want you to know that there's a treasure buried for you underneath the Charles Bridge in Prague. You can go see the Charles Bridge there nowadays. It's very much in Prague. And it's buried there. And he said, that's strange. It's two nights in a row, same dream. So he told his wife. You know what his wife said? It's a dream. It's silly. Don't worry about it. We have no money. You can't leave your family anyway. Who's going to work? You can't travel across the country to go to another country. It's not going to happen. The third night, the same dream again. Rav Isaac, there's a treasure for you underneath the Charles Bridge. Go and get it. It's waiting there for you. Okay? So this goes on for a week. After 7 days, he says, it's enough. It's driving me crazy. Even if the dream is wrong, let me at least go, find out that I'm nuts and I'm out of my mind, and then I'll know the whole thing is over and done. So they don't have much money. He sells some of their final possessions. He buys a wagon and a horse, and he rents a wagon and a horse, and he goes to Prague. Traveling from Krakow to Prague takes a number of days. Eventually he makes it to Prague, and he pulls up to the Charles Bridge. So he's looking around. He doesn't know what to do. He parks his horse. He has enough money to stay over in somebody's house for a couple of nights. And he goes looking around the base of the bridge. The Charles Bridge goes over water. And he starts looking around the base of the bridge. And he doesn't see anything. He spends all day from 8 in the morning, goes down looking for this treasure. There's nothing there. He says, maybe I missed it. It's a big bridge. There's a lot of land. There's a lot of water. Maybe I missed it. So he stays over the night in somebody else's house. And he wakes up the next morning. And at the beginning of the morning, Rav Isaac goes out to the Charles Bridge. And he starts looking around under the bridge, again, poking around, looking, digging, nothing. He has a shovel. He's trying to move dirt. He's trying not to attract attention. Some crazy guys digging around the bridge. But he keeps on looking, and nothing's there. So he goes back to bed one more night in Prague. And he says, let me try one more time the next day. If it's not there the next day, then I'll give him a go. So he goes and he looks the next day. And towards the middle of the day, there's a soldier who's patrolling on the bridge. And he looks down at Rav Isaac, who clearly is dressed like a Jew, and he says, no, Jew, what are you doing down there? It's a bit strange. This guy's digging around a bridge for 3 days. He says, I've been looking at you for 3 days. You've been digging around this bridge. What are you doing down there? So Rav Isaac is a little embarrassed. What is he going to tell the guy? Nothing. I lost my contact. What's going on here? So he has no choice. He says he already feels foolish anyway. He just wasted, 3 days of his life coming to Prague looking for absolutely nothing. So Rav Isaac looks at the soldier and says, truth be told, I had a dream for 7 nights in a row. And the dream told me that there was a treasure underneath the bridge in Prague, the Charles Bridge. So I felt I might as well go. So the soldier starts laughing at him, and he's turning over in laughter. You stupid Jew, what is wrong with you? You must be out of your mind. Just because you had a dream, you picked up and went halfway across the world to another town, another country, to look for something. He says, that's crazy. He said, I had a dream last night that if I went to the city of Krakow, I would find some Jew called Rav Isaac, and if I dug underneath his fireplace of his house, I would find an unbelievable treasure. And he walks away. Rav Isaac looks at him and says, what? And he says, no, come back here. What did you just say? He said, I had a dream last night that in the city of Krakow, in the house of some Jew named Rav Isaac, underneath the stove is buried a treasure. So he's so confused. He says, excuse me, I apologize. He gets back on his horse. He turns around. He goes right back to Krakow. And he comes to his house. His wife is waiting. Coming back with the treasure, he comes running in. His wife says, what's going on? He says, don't talk to me. I'm very busy. He comes running into the house. He grabs his shovel. He shoves the stove out of the way. His wife thinks he's gone mad. He takes the shovel and he starts digging. And underneath, 2 feet down, is a treasure, a buried treasure in his house, right there the whole time. He was so full of hakaras hatov to Hashem that he took some of the money, because he had a lot of money. He was now wealthy, literally overnight. He took some of the money and he dedicated it to build a shul in Krakow as a Karas HaTov. And the picture you have in front of you is the Reb Isaac shul of Krakow. And this was the shul that was built from the money that Reb Isaac found underneath his stove as a form of a Karas HaTov to Hashem. So the Hasidim say, in the name of Simcha Bar Peshitta, what's the point of the story? And the story is this. Because very often we go looking other places for treasures. We go thinking that what we need to make us better, to improve, to grow, to be inspired, is with somebody else, with this group of friends, with this class, with this teacher, with this shul, with this rabbi, with this situation. And we think what we need to grow is with somebody else's control. And says the Rebbe of Simcha Bar Peshitta, where's the treasure the whole time? Where's the treasure the whole time? It's you. It's right there with you the whole time. The whole time, the treasure is with you. Stop schlepping around to everybody else and think your problems are going to be solved with other people, with different friends, with a different family, with a different situation. The problems and the issues to grow are inside of you the whole time. There's a beautiful Gemara in Maseches Megillah. We hear of in Daf Vav Amud Beis. Amar of Yitzchak, Im Yomer Lecha Adam Yagati V'lo Matzati. If a person tells you that I searched hard, but I didn't find success, Al Ta'amein, don't believe him. Lo Yagati U'Matzati. If a person says, I put in no work, but I found success in life, Al Ta'amein, don't believe them either. Yagati U'Matzati. But if a person tells you, I worked hard, and I found success, Ta'amein, believe them. Hani Mili B'Divrei Torah, and the Gemara goes on to say, this is talking about Divrei Torah. So much more so in our own growth. All real growth, accomplishment, success, happiness comes from you, because the treasure is buried under you the whole time. Those things are there with you the entire time. We have a pasuk that we're going to read in the Haftorah in a couple of weeks. The Navi Hosea tells us, Shuva Yisrael Hashem Elokecha, return Israel to Hashem your God, ki chashalta bavanecha, because you stumbled with your sins. Kechui machem devarim, v'shuvu el Hashem. Take these words with you and return to Hashem. Kikaro, this is the same idea. Kikaro ve'elacha davar ma'od. Kechu imachem devarim. The way to improve, the way to do better is with you. It's not with anybody else. Nobody else is going to solve it. Kechu imachem devarim. That potential is inside of you the whole time. The Gemara tells the story of a person who did very, very bad things. We don't need to go into the details of what he did. Not for right now. His name is Rabbi Eliezer Bar Dordai. Rabbi Eliezer Bar Dordai did very, very bad things. And at a certain moment in his life, he realized that he was blaming all of his problems on other people. And he was blaming all of his stumbling and issues and his addictions and his sadness and his struggles and his depression. He was blaming it on other people. And through a course of events, he came to this realization. And he said something very important to us. And these, if I could take these five words and put them on a bumper sticker or a shirt, or now we don't have bumper stickers anymore, we have magnets, and put it on a magnet for your car, I would take these five words. Ein hadavar tali ella bi. The matter only depends on bi, me. At the end, that's it. Whenever a person is in a difficult situation and you're struggling, and you can't figure out how to get out of it, the answer is, Ein hadavar tali ella bi. It depends on me. I have the responsibility, I have the ability. Hashem would not have put this test in front of me if he did not think I had the tools to deal with this test at this moment in time. And this is important to know. I actually came across this morning a beautiful comment from Rav Aaron Leib Steinman in his Sefer Ayelas HaShachar. He says, Hinei ma shechasar lo be'amuna, lo shayach she'acher yispalel alav. If you struggle with Amuna and your connection to Hashem, nobody else is going to daven for you. It's not up to them. Dim ein ani li mi li. If you want to work on your amuna, you need to do it. Af echad lo yachol l'sayo. Nobody else, no teacher, and no parent is going to give you an inspiring shir that's going to change your amuna like that overnight. It's not going to happen. Real amuna, real relationship with Hashem, depends on you and your efforts. Ha'amuna mutelis alav. And then he goes on to explain that's why Moshe didn't daven for Kalev when they were with the spies. Because Kalev had to work on his own Amuna by himself. Yoshua's issue wasn't Amuna, it was something else. But Kalev couldn't work on his Amuna through Moshe davening. And that, if I could just bring it together, and just bring it together in one piece, that's the lesson of the story of the Rav Isaac Shul. That's the lesson of this week's Parsha, of Kikar Bailecha Davar Ma'od. That when we want to grow, we want to be inspired, and we want to accomplish what we want to do, and we want to grow, it's not going to come from anybody else. It's not going to come from a class, and it's not going to come from a moment or some spark of inspiration. It comes from us looking and seeing within ourselves and pushing ourselves to accomplish and to stretch ourselves to grow. And that's how a person comes to Amuna and Avas Hashem, Yiras Hashem. And it's important, certainly, the portion of giver. It's important in school, because too often in school, we excuse our way out of why it's not our fault. And we say, if I were the person who was sitting next to me, and if it would have been this class, it would have been this teacher, and it would have been this time, it would have been this case, ein hadavar talui ela b. That should be your response at all those situations. A sense of personal responsibility leads to a sense of personal growth. Okay, we'll stop here. I got to go back to my other job. And thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.